This is In the Dirt with Asodu.
We're here with another Canadian friend of ours, Jeff Williams, Absolute Results. You're kind of new to the Brian Pasch ecosystem.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you around. But why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do for a moment, and then we're going to get into some really interesting things that you're doing regarding the agency model.
Oh, well, you know what? I travel the world literally with my company, and I consult and do training about some technology products, but do a lot of work in Europe, North America, Asia Pacific, and just passionate about the business. I mean, I love the business. It changed my life 28 years ago, right? Mm. And so to be able to see where is the future going and how do we help dealers be more effective today, but with the future in mind, right?
Yeah. And so you said I travel a lot. You spend a lot of time in Europe, Australia, yes. Asia. You're a member of some boards and some organizations. I can't remember. Was it Switzerland? Sweden?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the larger automotive groups in Europe. I'm on a Retail the Future panel, and I advise them on that. And so we have conversations about what does retail look like? What does the ecosystem around automotive retail look like? Not just 2-3 years, but 5, 10, 15 years down the road.
And that, in essence, gives us a little bit of a look over the horizon, because they're far more advanced when it comes to their adoption of renewable energy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're moving into EVs even faster than we are.
Sure they are, yeah.
And there's actually some agency model things going on there and conversations that are happening there that aren't necessarily a one-to-one to what's going to happen here, but they can definitely inform us. So you just talked about this. So give us a summary about what you presented.
Oh my goodness. Well, what we have to do is when we understand kind of that retail, the automotive retail and where it's going, we have to look at the bigger picture of the whole automotive industry and how it's changing and how automobile companies are really becoming software companies. I mean, that's the holy grail they're chasing, right? It's one thing to sell a car to a customer, but how do you get monthly recurring income from that customer? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the data you get from that car and your partnerships with Google, like some OEMs have, or whether it's subscription services as you get into EVs and autonomous vehicles, like, I mean, Paul, what would you pay if you could drive into a shopping mall, literally get out at the entrance to the mall, and your car would go find a spot and park on its own, and then when you come out, you'd click something on your phone, it'd come find you. Like, what would you pay for that?
Well, I can tell you what I pay if I decide to valet because I have a lot of kids, right?
Yes. Exactly.
And so every time it's, and that's only if it's available.
There you go.
If you have kids, I don't know what the number would be, but I would definitely pay more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without
absolutely.
A doubt.
Absolutely. So as car companies become software companies, it comes down to customer experience again.
So tell us about, there's a lot of kind of conversation, some panic around agency model, sure. A lot of like fight or flight mentality kicking in. Mm-hmm. How do you think that the U.S. market should be approaching agency model, learning from, you know, what's going on? And like, what is your perspective on it? Because you spend a lot of time thinking about it. And I think there's a void of information.
There's
that creates a lot of anxiety.
I mean, at the end of the day, with the agency model, the OEM is selling direct to the consumer, facilitated by the dealer when it comes to new cars, right? So the OEM is owning that relationship. Now, the dealer still makes a solid commission and varies by OEM on the new vehicle sales. They can still broker the finance deal and sell after service products as well. So they've got that. They still take the trade and sell their used cars like normal, but it's that new car relationship that's facilitated. So the OEM owns the inventory. So it's a lot less risk for the dealer.
It's a totally different look on the P&L.
It really is. It really is. But then the OEM says, but we need a better quality of customer experience, whether it's on those digital opportunities that come in, the showroom experience. They're mandating a lot more of that experience. So there's consistency. Because OEMs today, they're betting their company on this new generation of product. They're betting the company. It's a Herculean bet. Right?
Oh, it's the same amount of money, and when you look at like the total investment and recovering that investment over a 3 to 5 year timeline, like that's something that typically startups are and investors looking at startups are willing to go, you know, hey, we can handle the risk. We're not risk averse. We're going to be lean into that.
Be some losses,
but the shareholders and the stockholders for these legacy OEMs are constantly looking at margins, profit per quarter, you know, net revenue up and down. Yeah. And so to go and throw all your chips in on something that you're not really sure if it's going to work.
Like, yeah. That's why there's a dual strategy happening. Look what Ford's doing by splitting their company with Model E, right? And then Ford Blue, because the biggest challenge, the biggest risk to an OEM with agency model, the biggest risk is cash flow. Mm. because you're selling to the customer. I mean, right now, you roll 100,000 units off your factory production lines, you get paid.
Wholesale,
you ship
right.
to the dealer, boom,
bam.
You get your money.
Yes. And that's what earnings, and we were talking about this a while back, right? That's what the market trades on, right? Wholesaling vehicles, yeah. That's what shows up. There's no line that's like depreciation, inventory depreciation, right? Like there is on a dealer's P&L.
That's right. And so they get paid in the agency model. They get paid when the consumer buys, which is why you're seeing that agency strategy or agency-esque strategies coming in on EVs because they're like startups, right? They're growing their market share from zero to hundreds to thousands to tens of thousands, hopefully hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. So I hate to give your opinions out and predictions out there, but with the internal combustion engines where you got factories optimized on mass production, right, and the cash flow associated with that, I think you're going to see that franchise model continue on the ICE engine vehicles. But as specialty lines and EV lines get launched by legacy OEMs, there's going to be a different playbook, and there's going to be a different maybe even dealer agreement, right, which you're seeing right now.
So what you're saying is that you do see a future where a split model is likely going to stick because of the different ways money's flowing and people are used to assuming profit.
I assume so. That's what I see right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the other piece that's a real thorn in the side of OEMs right now is for you to have a real quality customer experience, you have to have hassle-free pricing. You have to have one price. You just have to. Right?
Yep.
The minute the customer goes, you know, I loved how they treated me at this dealership, but I can save $500 over there. And they go over there mm-hmm. to save $500 and get an inferior experience. You've destroyed customer experience.
Yeah.
But the way the franchise laws are set up in this country, it's illegal to mandate one price. It's against, dealer can sell for less.
Yep. Right.
Right?
Right.
And so really one of the only ways is to have an agency type of agreement to have that one price. So there's a lot of complex components to it. So it seems like a hybrid version seems to be happening now, right now, with the legacy brands.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's dealers are going to have to adapt.
What are one or two, like, real quick, practical steps that dealers should, or things that they should be doing, or questions they should be asking themselves right now to plan for this, I mean, whether it be 1 month, 3 months, 3 years, or 5 years ahead, what should dealers be asking themselves? Is it lean to consumer experience? Is it finding new revenue streams? Where's the like practical, tactical things that a dealer should be looking at right now?
Well, number one, stop worrying about owning the customer. Right, because there's always, I own the customer, you own the customer. Like,
a lot of conversation
customer.
Over that.
Like, stop it. Customer, you know, yeah. Stop it. That's
customer
silliness.
Doesn't want to be owned.
No, but own the customer experience. Own the customer experience. So you know what? When it comes to digital experience, my team has it nailed. Right? When it comes to showroom experience, here's exactly what we do. We've got it nailed. When it comes to the ownership experience, here's exactly what we do. We've got it nailed.
That translates into owning the customer.
Absolutely.
You know what's funny? Like, it's almost even just, and I'm going to lean into my personal opinion here. It's you can own the customer, but you own the customer attention, not just the customer data. And I think everyone's fighting over customer data. And what we need to be fighting over is who, like, oh no, you don't have to worry about customer
Would
ownership
you rather?
Because they only come to me, right? Like that's,
they type
that's
it
the
into
lean
the
in
the search
story,
bar,
right?
Yeah.
That is so true. And you know, I think the biggest risk now to the legacy OEMs is as they try to figure this out, all right, is whether it's an agency form of bringing EVs to market and keeping the ICE engines pumping and growing and keeping the cash flow rolling. As they try to figure it out, they've got to learn to collaborate with their dealers. Otherwise, what's going to happen, the dealers and OEMs are going to get stuck and they're going to spend so much mental energy and legal energy and dollars arguing and fighting over it. And you're going to have all these 26 new OEMs that are just going to come and
eat
their lunch.
VinFast is going to IPO and just eat your lunch. Well,
there's 26 of them.
Yeah.
Forget about VinFast. That's, you know, like, yeah. You're just going to see that. I'm already the market cap of Tesla is more than everyone else combined, you know?
Yeah.
So they've got to work together.
Yep.
Because if they just fight each other, they're going to miss the real battle, which isn't each other.
Right.
Right? It's all these new competitors right. coming to market.
Absolutely. It's like, we need to save like World War II. We need to save Europe. Right? Right. It's like, that's how we're going to win this thing.
And you know, if a dealer wants to be really be indispensable to your OEM.
Yeah.
Right? How do you be indispensable? Why? Own the customer experience.
Right.
Make sure your brand elevates their brand.
That's a great way to put it. If your individual brand elevates their brand, guess what? They're going to listen.
Yeah.
They're not going to mandate as much as they're going to listen.
But you've got to make some changes for that to happen. I mean, you know, pick the EV out there, you know, and I know there's a wait of 2 months to 2 years for all of them, just about, it seems, whether it's an ID3, whether it's an e-tron, whether it's the Lyric, whether it's a Hummer, whether it's the Lightning or the Mach-E.
You're waiting. Right.
Yeah. So, but when a customer, the OEMs are betting their company on these new generations, those products, right? So the customer reaches out to a dealership, and what do they hear? Oh, man, get on the list. How much are you going to pay for it? We don't have any of those. Oh, they're not coming for 18 more months. What just happened to the investment of the OEM?
And why does massive that bet that they just placed as almost a startup, and these crazy investors are leading, are thinking that small dealership over there is my investment. Boom.
Well, you know, and what is the problem with that is that the person answering that lead or answering that call or talking to that customer, they are still paid like a Roman gladiator. We eat what we kill in a 30-day window, right? So we have to start investing in people to invest in quality customer experience, right? We just have to do that. If you do not change the compensation model, you'll never change the behavior, right? Yeah. And that's why I was excited to be here at MRC and just talk to the number of dealers and groups. How many are doing innovative things with pay plans and compensation plans? It's really encouraging to hear.
There is.
Right? It means I value you. I value when you come to work, and I give you expectations of what I expect from you, but I'm investing in you, right? You, not just what you are going to do for me, right? Which is a different mindset. But
it really is.
It's a paradigm shift.
That's the mindset that has to happen.
It really is. Yeah. Well, Jeff, it is a pleasure to introduce you to the Isotta audience for the first time.
Nice.
And looking forward to hearing more about what you're learning, discovering, and what you see over the horizon. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's a pleasure. See you again soon.
Thank you for listening to In the Dirt with Isotta. We love the automotive industry and the people who make it run day in and day out. We would love to connect with you more through our Daily Dose of Fun, a free email that you can sign up for at asotu.com. That's ASOTU.com. We put our heart and soul into it every day. Thanks again for listening. Join us next time for more conversations in the dirt with Isotta.